And welcome to Famicast 120, your Famicast for the latter part of February 2018. I'm Danny Bivens, and I'm joined, as always, by James Charlton.
Hey, Danny. Is this a free podcast or a paid one? I can't remember.
Are you serious?
This is a free one, right? Okay, I'll only give it like, I don't know, 20% of my all. How's that?
That's fine. That's fine. I usually only give it about 10, so.
That's about right.
Also joined by Ty Sugart.
Hey, it's your boy.
It is our
Cat
boy.
Cat drugs.
I was about to call you Tyrus Delaney.
Nice.
I don't know. Yeah.
One podcast could not handle such power.
Tyrus Delaney there.
Speaking of the Irishman, he's here.
It's true. A rare occasion.
Yes.
Back from the dead. Again.
Yeah, again. Yes. Round two. And today, we're joined by a very, very special guest, one of our patrons, and I just want to give a big thank you and welcome to Rich.
Is that my cue?
That's you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Rich. You guys are normally drunk when you do this, right?
I'm working on it.
Johnny usually is.
Well, okay. Three out of four of us are.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It's up to you to guess which ones.
I got my... Yeah.
It's not hard.
And strong zero right here.
It is.
Nick or whatever you call these guys.
That's some beautiful Japanese English. Strong zero.
Yeah.
Zero, but it's strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an actual strong zero.
Is this water? Is it vodka? Find out by the end of the show.
What does the 9% mean?
What year is this?
Who's the president?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, Danny, what we got lined up in today's exciting episode of the Famicast, totally free podcast for everyone.
Same old shit, different day. No.
Well, we've got Rich's exciting special feature that he's desperately wanted us to talk about, which he paid good money for. So, good luck to him. Thank you for choosing that. Whatever mysterious topic that he's going to reveal to us at the end of the show. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, there's no topic. we'll just get that out there right now.
Okay. What? I'll think of one for you. You like Hello Kitty, right?
I love it. Yeah, my favorite. You know, it's just in Taiwan. They love it even more there. So,
right on.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and kick off the show with new business per usual. Let's just go ahead and start off with Rich. And Rich, how about you tell us just a little bit about yourself? You know, name, address, middle name, social security number, favorite video game, that type of stuff. Think you could do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my name's Rich. I've been listening to the Famicast since season one, episode one, and wow, always loved it.
That's longer than that.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
This will be the first episode that I don't listen to. So it's hey. Exciting.
Oh, you're not going to listen to it?
It's
going to have all the music and yeah. stuff added to it.
No, I'm here. Yeah, listen to myself.
I like you guys, but I'm not going to listen to you twice. Jesus.
Right. Good point. do you like video games and or Japan?
Yes, to both, I guess. I'm currently in Japan while I am here. It's like 4:45 in the morning where I'm from, so that's why I kind of waited to join in. But this is my, I don't know, eighth or ninth trip to Japan, something like that. I've lost track.
Well, the last time you were here, me and Danny met up with you in real life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, that was a,
that was a short topic. That sounds like a story to tell.
Yeah. The end of that story. Next.
So, Rich, obviously you like games and stuff like that too. Like, what's like your favorite gaming series?
favorite gaming series, probably Metroid, and namely the Prime sub-series. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about 4 coming out soon here, or, well, eventually.
Yeah, so
the 2D ones too.
Mm-hmm. It's a tie-in with the Olympics 2020, so it's coming out.
Yes. Gonna be Bandai Namco. Yes, tie-in with the Olympics. Can't wait.
Metroid is gonna light the torch because he's probably the best mascot for the job.
Nice mate.
No one took it, including Rich. So he's obviously a regular listener. He doesn't fall for it.
I actually totally missed it, thanks to this wonderful Okinawa internet.
How's Okinawa?
It's nice. It's 22 degrees and lovely. Pretty cool. A little more humid than I thought it'd be, but beautiful.
Oh, wow. It's humid? Jesus.
Slightly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Freezing our asses off here on the main island.
Yeah. That's why I'm not there.
I'll have you know I only have one heater pointed at me today.
Yeah, Cyrus is in, like, you know, imagine Game of Thrones, but worse.
Yeah, beyond the wall.
Right.
We generally do have, like, piles of snow around my house until about April.
Good luck to you.
All right, Rich, well, what have you been playing lately? Anything of note?
Let's see. Well, is this new business, I guess?
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, man, this guy knows the show better than I do.
Wow. I've been studying. So the only thing I've been playing lately is Super Mario Odyssey on my Switch, which I brought with me on this vacation. It turned out to be a very good move. I was a little down on the game when it was announced, because I kind of had a little, Mario fatigue from that series of new Super Brothers games and everything that, you know, there were just a bunch of them.
Yep.
Really quick. And they just turned into the same thing over and over again. Mm. Wasn't too fun for me. And I didn't really watch the trailers or pay attention to a lot of the previews. I thought Cappy looked kind of at first. And like, I read all the goes an open design like Mario 64, and isn't that wonderful? But I didn't think they could actually, like, execute on it and pull it off. And also the idea of costumes didn't appeal to me at all. So I wasn't really looking forward to it, but I picked it about a month and started playing it. And it turns out it's freaking amazing. And I love it. Easily the better Switch game that I played, the other beings. But yeah, the Mario 64 roots, like, are totally there. It just kind of feels like a modern extension of that vision. I love how the worlds are all, like, totally packed with things to do and collecting moons and coins and all that stuff. It's a ton of fun. Kind of in moving Mario is great. I love the tricks that you can do with Cappy. Kind of people who are bad at video games like me, a lot of room for messing up and recovering and whatnot.
Have you mastered the dive thing?
No, I can do it, but, like, once pretty consistently. but after that, I inevitably fall pretty quickly. But yeah, it'd be awesome if I could get good at that. Then I could just go anywhere, it seems like. that's a lot of fun. Kind of dumb, but that's okay.
What were you saying, Cyrus? That's what now?
I was saying that the dive thing that you can do for, like, massive jumps. I think you were asking me that too, how I was, like, using it.
Mm-hmm.
And And it's funny that it's like, for a game like Mario that's so simple in every regard, like, it allows you to do such crazy technical inputs with that thing that, like, as since I play fighting games so much, that was like, hey, this is fun. And I was doing it, like, immediately out of the gate. But
wow.
For, like, non-fighting game players, it's like this really crazy technical thing. So I really like how Nintendo kept that stuff in there.
Yeah, it was 300 moons in for me before I got the hang of it.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever get it. There's a ceiling on my abilities. But that's okay.
Get good.
I'm through almost all the worlds. I don't know if we want to talk spoilers or what. It's a few months old at this point.
I know, but some people probably still haven't played it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I have been collecting all of the moons and coins that it will let me before I progress to the next world. Just it's kind of the completionist that I am. Well, somewhat completionist. And I think I'm up to around 500 moons.
Whoa, boy.
I can see an idea where I am.
Nice.
Are you planning to get all of them?
If I can. I imagine like post-game there'll probably be some super hard stuff. I'd like to throw that in there. Well, hard for me. But
yeah, I think the last whatever it is, the last 20 or something are just the most annoying ones, like the jump rope challenge and the RC car challenge, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I did the jump rope. I kind of cheesed that.
Nice.
And the volleyball too. Yeah,
the volleyball is the worst.
Surreal.
I kind of like the monotony of it personally.
Of course you would.
Do you know the trick for that?
Just it's like hitting the ball?
Like two-player or something?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Cappy's way easier to control.
Oh, you can just split Cappy off and then just use him?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, okay.
My goal for those was I just checked whatever Danny and James's scores were for all of them. I was like, I got to beat those. And then as soon as I did that, I moved on.
Oh, man, you beat my score. Okay, I haven't played the game in a couple months. I got to go back and beat you.
Well, unfortunately, I have Greg Leahy and Matt Walker on my friends list who are just mentalists at all those high score stuff. So it's like I'm like number one for like a few days and then I go back and check it and it's like it's my score's been tripled. I'm like, okay, I give up.
Loser.
I have to scroll down quite far to see Danny's score.
Oh. Last time I checked, I was over you, James.
For what?
The jump rope challenge and I think the volleyball.
Yeah, I don't even play those games. The only ones that matter are the Koopa Troopa run challenges.
I haven't even done those.
They're the ones that actually take skill, not fucking hitting a ball.
I don't even play those games.
Come on, man. They're like the proper speed run stuff where you have to actually do gymnastics and, you know, actually have skill at the game.
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. So, oh, Rich, do you have a, because, you know, you weren't part of the Game of the Year discussion. Do you have one from last year? Is Mario it?
So, if we're talking Nintendo, then yeah, Mario's it.
By hours played, right? You got to play the Famicast rules.
Well, I probably haven't passed Zelda yet. I played that like 150 hours. Okay. But by the end, I kind of hated it.
What?
Dang.
I don't know. That's a whole other thing.
I did like the
DLC on that, but it just, I don't know. I think what did it for me is that for some reason I decided I had to get my costumes, or not costumes, armor in that game. And upgraded fully. That proved to be tedious and not fun. But I did it.
You did? You got all the armor sets? They involve like amiibos, don't they?
Well, not the amiibo crap. Okay. Yeah, fuck that.
Oh man, someone that I work with has got is one of those guys that has to get everything, like everything. So he's going for like 900 Korok seeds, every armor set, including the amiibo ones and stuff like that. And yeah, he said that there aren't actually enough slots in the inventory to have all the armor sets. there's like something like 120 armor sets, but there's like only 110 slots in the game. So I guess you have to have the house and actually put the other ones in your house or something like that.
Yeah, I think that was something with the DLC. It was like, it was fine until...
Yeah, like, it pushed it over, yeah.
So yeah, good job, Nintendo. And they still haven't patched that for some reason.
It's like 12 pages of armor sets. Mental. Jeez. I barely got anything. And I don't have any of the like the special ones, you know, or the DLC. Well, I don't have the DLC yet, so don't have any of those.
It's like, yeah, I have the DLC, haven't played it yet. I have like one full set of armor. Yeah. Need to pick up my game a little bit, figuratively and literally.
The second DLC pack was a ton of fun, I thought. Like, if you enjoyed kind of the main quest and that sort of stuff, you'll probably really like that.
If you enjoyed Zelda, you'll probably like more Zelda.
Yeah.
Good tip. I'd
say it was worth it just for the being able to see the Hero's Quest map. I was like, oh, that's really neat. That's my 25 bucks well spent. There we go.
Yeah, I think Zelda is one of those games, like, I'm just going to go back to every few months, play it for like a few hours and go, man, this is so much fun, and then just drop it again. Like, forever. Just keep going back.
Drop it forever for a month or two.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
All right. Well, Rich, is that about all that you have for us?
Yeah, I think so. Did you want more? Sorry.
No, that's fine. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Ty.
Oh, boy.
What have you been playing?
Well, in all reality, I've just been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
Like, boring. Nonstop.
No, dude, I want to play this game. I'm interested.
Yo, it's godlike.
Yeah.
I'm a couple of 100 matches into ranked. Just working on that grind, trying to get some real cheap tactics down.
I heard you've gotten, people are starting to avoid you on ranked now.
They are. Yeah, like, unfortunately, this is like one of the games where when you search for a ranked match, it doesn't just drop you in, it shows you the name first.
Oh.
And people are just like fucking hitting the eject button. It's like, no, not this guy.
Wrong like, guy.
I keep changing my name too. Like one nice thing about the game is it doesn't show your gamer tag. It shows like the name on your card that you can change at any time.
Oh.
So like I just put in these joke names like Goku Dunker 69, etc. Shrek Antifa.
hey, so, that was mine.
You was still... it? So yeah, I'm experimenting with a few characters, having a good time. I don't think this game's ever going to come out on Nintendo, but you know, I don't know, it might.
Well,
they should.
They said that they didn't say no, but I mean, they said no, but they said okay, maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah,
Turbo DX Revival version will probably come out on Switch.
Like next year. Maybe like a complete version once they ship all the DLC.
There you go.
Yeah. So, besides that, I played a whole bunch of F-Zero because we're going to talk about that on AC/DC.
Hey yo.
Yes, hey yo. So I guess I'm not going to talk about it a lot here, but I did play Satellaview F-Zero.
Oh yeah. Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah. So if you want to hear about that, you better give us $3.
Awesome. Cool.
Rich, looking forward to hearing that.
No, I am looking forward to hearing about Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, though.
Yeah, I didn't play that.
What?
Some wise guy wrote that.
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah, on the agenda.
Sorry, that was me. Was that me?
Maybe. Doesn't matter.
I'd listen to an episode of AC/DC about how to fix Pocket Camp.
Yeah, the way to fix it is to find the uninstall button.
I don't think anyone would want to listen to me and Ty talk about Animal Crossing for an hour and a half. It wouldn't be pretty. But
I bet the segues we'd get into would be pretty good. So yeah, F-Zero is the one true game. But you know, I'll probably be playing Bloodstained as soon as it comes out, which is going to be soon enough.
You playing it on your Wii U?
Yeah, sure, dude.
The cancelled version. Are they all coming out at the same time? Does anyone know, like, all versions simultaneously, or
is I think that's the plan, simultaneously-ish. Like, it'll probably be within, like, the same week or two. That's my expert guess. My industry analysis, if you will.
I wonder how well it's going to do in Japan. Be interesting to see that if it gets in the top tens.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, it's down. Oh, it's obviously download only, right? I don't think they're doing.
I don't know.
Copy, are they?
I can't help but think I saw a picture of like a case for the PS4 version, but that might just be for like the store. I don't know how they display it on the store. I don't remember.
Or it might be just like limited Kickstarter physical release or something.
When I hear the word Kickstarter, I immediately look at Cyrus and say, okay, Cyrus, did you back this game?
This was, that game was like on the end of my like, okay, Cyrus, I think you've had enough with Kickstarters.
After your first bankruptcy.
Yeah. Well, it was when I was flirting with bankruptcy and was like, I should really pick the one that puts me over the edge.
Yeah.
I don't back a lot of Kickstarters, but I did back this one. So I'll be getting pretty quick.
Cool. Download code, day one.
Yeah.
Bada boom.
Yep. Price to move.
Well, speaking of Kickstarter stuff, didn't you guys, okay, this is totally off the subject of anything, basically, but did you guys see the Kickstarter for that game, N64 game, 40 Winks?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, like,
I remember that from back in the day as well.
Yeah, me too.
And I guess, according to my N64 Indology, that was released on, like, you know, the PlayStation, maybe even, like, PC, probably, maybe not. But,
Really?
Huh. Yeah, and it was okay. And then for whatever reason, the publisher just said, like, yeah, let's just can the N64 version. So,
okay, that's less interesting to me now. If this was like a long lost game that got canceled and then never saw the light of day, that'd be more interesting than like, oh, it was released on everything else.
Wow. That's just PlayStation.
I guess the Nintendo 64 completionists have one more game to buy.
Yeah. I thought about just, I don't know. I'm still debating whether or not to actually put some money down and try to support it, but. That's kind of neat.
Makes me wonder, what is the rarest Nintendo 64 game?
Yes.
64DD games probably come into it. Or if you're just talking about just cartridge,
regular 64? What's the rarest cartridge?
I don't know. Star, what's it called? StarCraft 64?
No, it's not that rare. It's not rare, but there's rarer stuff out there.
The demand for it is very low.
Anyway, yeah. sorry to derail your new business tie.
No, that's fine. Like, I'm done. Like, I just played F-Zero and Dragon Ball, and that's it.
It's just spitballing now anyway, so.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, I'll go ahead and go next. I have been playing just a bunch of crap that I've already played tons and tons of anyway, but one new game, well, it's not even that new. One game I've been playing lately is something for review, and that is Axiom Verge on the Nintendo Switch.
Nice. Whoa. Great game.
So, and honestly, actually, I just started it properly today, like this evening. And my God, I mean, I remember back whenever we first talked about it a couple of years ago on the show, I remember just looking for music and just listening to like all the different tracks and was like, holy crap. I don't even know which track I want to like put into the show because like all of it was just like so damn good. And yeah, that's just the coolest thing. Just from that title screen, you just hear, you know, the bumping music, and it's just so like atmospheric and moody. It's great, and yeah, like I said, since I'm only an hour in, there's probably a whole lot creepier and weirder stuff that's into the game. But like, I really like the controls. I think that's fine. I like all the different weapons that you can get as well. Like more so, and like just more versatile than you can with stuff in like in Metroid. So that's pretty cool.
So many weapons.
Yeah, and even you know, I've played a lot of the Metroid Samus Returns on 3DS. Just came out last September, and I think it's great. But like with this, like I just said, I mean, there's just so much more that you can do like offensively and just like with weapons and stuff, as opposed to like regular Metroid games where you have you know some cool weapons. But like this just seems like it just kicks it up like, you know, to 11. and just doesn't really look back.
Yeah, you actually get way more weapons than you need, by the way. It's, you know, it's different from Metroid. I'll just give you a little heads up. You know, don't think that you have to get every weapon. It's just like, I mean, some of them work better against certain enemies, but like, you can kill any enemy with any weapon, basically. Mm. But, you know, obviously it's a lot faster with certain weapons. Mm-hmm. And there are so many kinds, but like, yeah, you don't need like even half of them to complete the game. So if you find one that's like kicking ass and you like it, you know, don't worry too much about, you know, finding everything. You know, you can get lost in that game for quite a long time. Okay. There was a boss that I fought and people were like, I've never seen this boss before. Like, and I completed the game. So like, there's even bosses that you don't even need to do.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that I can beat the game this week. I'm working on a review for it as well. That'll be up on the site, and hopefully have the video review done around the same time. But man, I would feel just bad if I didn't mention this. But for just some, you know, back work that we're all kind of working on for the site, like I kind of went and revisited Troll and I on the Switch.
Great game.
Poor man.
It's fantastic. But something I didn't realize, because I think back, I played it for a couple hours and then I just kind of just, I archived it because I was like, maybe I'll play this again. I mean, you know, with the archiving, the software on the Switch, the game is off of there, but it keeps your save data and like all that type of stuff.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, actually, yes. Thank God.
Oh, right. Because you didn't have to replay the intro or whatever.
But I did replay the intro on purpose. with an update that they did, they really made like the beginning of this game a whole lot more digestible. I mean, there was just really, really bad frame rate issues at first, where it was just a jittery mess for like the whole first like 30, 40 minutes of the game. But a lot of that's gone, which I was really surprised about. There still are some weird things where, like, when the camera's like panning across, it's always kind of like a like this. It's smooth, and then it just like kind of like.
And they fixed it?
No, that's something that they didn't fix. It was worse.
All right.
I mean, you know, there's still the fun things like I hop over a tiny ledge towards the beginning of the game, and then it just initiates a loading screen for no reason and you can't do anything. Like, you can press the start button and you could hear yourself going through like the menus.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And like this little ledge, I think the first time I got over it, it was fine. And I got up and I climbed the side of a cliff and then I fell inside of it and I was like, okay. Yeah. So that was fun. And, another weird thing where I was like controlling this, you know, the big, ugly, hideous troll, and I was killing a bunch of enemies and I was starting to kind of have a little bit of fun.
Uh-oh.
Kind of. And then I killed an enemy and they make like this kind of bone crunching sound like whenever you like kill them, and then the sound just kept replaying and wouldn't stop. And I mean, for like probably 20 minutes, because I was walking around other parts of the level and I came back towards that area and you just hear and I threw it in at the end of my video review. So if you watch that and wonder what the hell that sound is,
nice.
That is the sound of death, like 1,000 deaths. So yeah, and please enjoy. What a game. Yeah.
And it was at that point which Danny didn't become a video game reviewer.
Yes. God. Oh, it was fun going back, you know, for the lols, but I think I'm done with that game. So.
Nice, man. You've been working hard on those video reviews. You're replaying all your old games.
All of them.
Always fun.
Yes. All right. Well, Cyrus, what have you got for us?
So I've been kind of playing not much. I've been playing like a smorgasbord of all my previous games, or again, kind of like brushing up for video reviews. Mm-hmm. But I played like a little bit of Doom, a little bit of Phantom Breakers that I haven't fully reviewed yet. But I guess not really playing a game. I was living a game this week. I know. So one of my most beloved of all games is Shenmue.
Good man.
And like, it's been on my bucket list since I got here 6 years ago in Japan, was to go down to Yokosuka, where Shenmue is kind of set, mm-hmm. and, like, to walk around the streets and see all the familiar locations that they use in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even last, I think it was December, like, Sega partnered with that local area in Dabuita to make, like, a Shenmue kind of, like, tour. So I have my, like, if you're on the video podcast, you can see my Shenmue shrine map of Dabuita.
Oh, my God. Is that an ongoing thing, or is it just over?
It's an ongoing thing. So if you go to, like, a lot of the stores, again, on the video, I'm holding up a map of Dabuita that has, like, all of the important locations marked on it.
Nice.
So like, for example, there's, like, this flower store where your girlfriend works at in the game. That store is a real store.
Her name's Nozomi, duh.
Nozomi Hamasaki, yes, of course. And I think it's Hamasaki. Fun note, one of the first Japanese lines, the first Japanese that I ever learned was so that I could ring up phone operators in Japan, where me and my friend were trying to track down this florist in Dabuita.
so you called them in Japanese?
We called them in Japanese and we're like asking for is this the flower shop in Dabuita? And
do you know where any sailors are?
Yeah, I'm looking for a man named Charlie. And have you seen a black sedan? But
the day that it snowed.
So it was really fun just like going down to these streets, and like the game is set in 1986.
Yeah.
So dimension on. Well, it's Christmas.
Sega Saturn's there. It's weird. Yeah. Paradox.
But they there's like the whole area has changed, but also it kind of only sampled the feel of the area, not so much specific places. So there are a few stores that are 100% match to match for the game, which is kind of cool. But like this shrine map really has some tenuous links to say, like, this is a location from Shenmue. Where, like, in the game, there's this food truck that's, it's, like, in the main street. An American, like, sells hot dogs there.
Oh, he's Canadian.
Canadian, I apologize.
He's going to Canada. Or he's going to Canada. It's Tom.
Yeah, Tom's hot dogs. So there's, like, there is a food truck in Dabuita, but it's, like, this Egyptian guy who just sells Egyptian food. The guy that's, like, you may remember Tom's hot dogs, but while this has no relation to the Tom in the game, there is a food truck in Dabuita.
And Tom died in 1996. Rest in peace.
And that's kind of sad. Like one of the major places that a lot of the game takes place in is like the Yokosuka like warehouses and shipping harbor, and it's got these big giant like cargo cranes that you take like a lot of the fight sequences towards the end of the game happen around. But they were demolished in, like, 2003 or something, because they were so old. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's gone. So it was cool. I love this about Japan, that a lot of games and things are set in real locations. Yeah. So if you are a huge fan, you can go on these pilgrimages, they call them, to go see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Cyrus, I got to do that as well back. Man, this is back in 2010. In the summer. And I got to roll around Dabuita and just kind of walk around and like, oh, there's where Rio's house probably would be, but it's a giant hospital. Yeah. you know, like stuff like that. It was really cool just to go. And I swear to God, man, I saw this bar that it said something like Tom's or something like on the outside of it. I was thinking like, wow.
Oh, Tom's not dead.
Yeah, Tom sold the truck.
Yeah, so he like moved on.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of American influence at the docks, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Like, Yokosuka is so American. Like, it's just, there's so many American bars and, like, Irish bars. And it's, like, this, like, in my area, if you search for, like, Mexican food, the closest Mexican place is, like, a 30-minute train ride minimum. And it's garbage. It's, like, it's a guy who saw a picture of Mexican food once and was like, I can make that. And that. But in Yokosuka, like we looked up Mexican food, Yokosuka, and it was like 10 to 12 Mexican restaurants all just along that one street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds godlike.
Yeah, cool. So
Like,
for the, yeah, for those out there that don't know, there's like a huge, you know, American military base there, so that's why.
Yeah, anywhere there is a military base, there is a lot of Mexican food. That's the rule in Japan.
Yes. Since, you know, olden times, like way back in the day. Edo period Mexican food.
Yeah, when Perry rolled up in his steamships, that's the first Mexican restaurant was opened.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I was doing. I was nerding out, walking around the streets, and just checking out the old Natsukashi memories of Shenmue.
Oh, good times, man.
Is Shenmue a good game to play in 2018?
I am curious about that. I will be playing it again. I want to play Shenmue 1, Shenmue 2, and get ready for Shenmue 3. But,
oh, right, yeah, Shenmue 3. Yeah.
You know, a couple of years back, I have like 5 copies of the game because I just do. And I even have this cool like demo, like promo disc that they released back in the day. It's called like What is Shenmue? And it's just like basically a tech demo. It just like shows like the characters' faces and them talking and saying things.
Oh, it's like you can rotate the camera around them and stuff.
You can see a picture of Mark. He's like, yo, Dio. I mean, it's just, I really like the English version of that character because it's just so awful. Yeah, but, you know, playing through the Japanese version, some of the guys are just equally as awful. I mean, Tom is just terrible. I mean, he is just like, I thought he was Japanese, but I guess he's actually is supposed to be from another country, and they really ham that the hell up. I mean, they make him just talk like a moron.
In Japanese?
In Japanese, yeah.
Oh, right. Like, watashi wa Amerikajin desu.
Yeah, like he's like Asian and has dreadlocks, and he's always dancing outside of his hot dog truck.
Right. And now he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, no. God rest his soul. Anyway, thank you for that, Cyrus. And never James. Played it. Yeah. Yeah, James. That's your homework. I mean, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game for review called Mercenary Kings. Mm-hmm. And this is basically Metal Slug, which I've never played. I was kind of interested in playing this because I've never played a Metal Slug game. And this looks like it's kind of like a retro revival of those kind of games. I think it was a Kickstarter game, which, of course, you know, Cyrus knows about it.
I may or may not have. I did. I backed this one.
You backed this one? Wow! Yep. And but then you Cyrus, you said you played it, and then you gave up on it or something, or
yeah, it's. I feel this is a game that you kind of need a squad of people to play with to keep it interesting. If you're just playing it by yourself, it gets stale pretty quick.
Yeah, this is. I can't. I mean, people listening, feel free to write in and correct me. But this is like the first 4-player online co-op game on a Nintendo system. Danny?
Yeah, I can't think. I mean, it's like New Super Mario Bros. Are they online?
No. Online. Yeah. 4-player. That's co-op? Well. I guess. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Like a single-player story game that you're going through together as 4 people online. I can't name a single one.
I can't name any off the top of my head. There could be some third-party stuff, maybe on Wii U or 3DS.
But the fact that we all have to scratch our heads is just completely embarrassing, isn't it?
Hey, I recognize that animation.
Oh, yeah, like, it's beautiful. Paul Robertson, like, that is the thing that sold me on this game was Paul Robertson's animation.
So, yeah, it's like chibi-fied, like, super detailed, like, sprite work and beautifully animated and, like, very colorful, you know, just chibi. Everything's like chibi. It's like little military people.
Yeah, you played Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That's this guy.
Yeah, Google that name and find some of his old videos too. They're pretty amazing and twisted.
What's his name again?
Paul Robertson.
Not Pat Robertson.
He's famous as a pixel artist. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Is anyone like a Metal Slug fan?
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, I never got. I mean, they start off in Neo Geo games, right?
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, lots of like compilations have come out since then. You know, even on Wii, I think there was like a Metal Slug compilation and stuff. But I don't know. I was never like that intrigued to like go out and buy like a whole compilation of games I have no experience with. But you know, so this is like my first experience with these kind of games, and man, they are not friendly to people new to this kind of genre. It's like, yeah, it's balls hard right from the start. They kind of, I guess they're just expecting you to know you that you're a fan of Metal Slug, so you know what to do, and you're ready for this kind of game.
It's not for babies.
It's definitely not for babies. But like I don't know, I would say this on the review that I did, I actually had to give it 2 scores, like one for like, you know, just casual, and then one for like, you know, experienced hardcore people who know this kind of game.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought that was a really interesting way to score the game.
Because there are people who are going to look at the artwork and just fall in love with it and just like, wow, this is so cute and so like colorful and looks so fun to play. And it is, but it's going to kick your ass right from the start. And I talked to a couple of people who played this game, and a lot of people did just give up, and they're just like, ah, this game's not for me. It's just like, and you see a lot of the reviews are kind of very much split between people who grew up with these games and they fucking love it, give it like crazy high scores, and then people who are not. And but like I slog through that initial like incredibly high difficulty curve, and then it kind of like eases off, like, because you upgrade your armor, you upgrade your weapons. You can upgrade your armor as well, but like you start off with just like a single shot pistol, so everyone takes like 6 hits, you know. So like you just like even like a simple guy, they're just like bullet sponges. So you're just getting, you have to like shoot and run away, and if you go off the screen just a little bit, the enemies will respawn. So it's like, it's really really hard, because you're like, okay, you've got to go forward, and then and it's hard because, you know, your gun doesn't do anything to these people. You have to like, you know, jump and dodge, and you know, do kind of like dodging skills to not die, and then if you kind of retreat too much, then they'll respawn. So it's like, you know, you really really like hit a brick wall of difficulty right at the start.
Your character doesn't level up either, does it? It's just you upgrade your weapon and equipment.
Yeah, so you can upgrade your armor, which basically means your health bar gets bigger, or you take, you know, less damage when you get hit and stuff, and you can make your guns more powerful. Yeah, basically. And the guns are like incredibly customizable. Like it's like the gun is split into every little segment of the gun, like the barrel, the holster. I don't know what you call these bits. I'm European. We don't have guns. the magazine. I know magazine. Magazine.
Stock.
Stock. There you go. Sight, and whatever the middle bit is, the main bit, all that kind of stuff can all be changed individually. So you'll have like, no, literally, you'll start off with like 10 options, and then that when you rank up, they'll expand to like another 10. So like, this must be not infinite, but like many, many combinations of weapons that you can do.
To use like, the scientific term.
Yes, 10,000 combinations.
And I think they actually advertised that in the Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, do they? Yeah. Like, well, they're not lying. Yeah, it's, yeah, I won't be surprised if it's in the millions, you know. So, like, it's not really broken up into worlds kind of thing. It's broken into rank. So you'll start with, like, novice rank. And novice rank has, like, 10 missions. And then when you go through those 10 missions, you'll go up to, like, whatever it is, the next rank, you know, sergeant or whatever. And then sergeant will have 10 totally new missions in a different area. And they're all kind of linked. Like, you know, at the end of one rank will lead you into the beginning of the next one. So it's like a, you know, constant... you feel like you're progressing through a real, you know, chibified military world. It's kind of cute. And the gun that I'm just started using now has got like these bullets, which like melt metal. Basically, it's called caustic bullets, I think it's called. Like basically acid bullets.
Oh, and is that based on something in real life? Probably not.
Jesus, I hope not. You know, like bullets that melt your face in. face is like what's that? The Rock. That stuff in The Rock. Do you remember that?
Oh, this you were talking about the wrestler.
Me too.
No. The Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery movie.
Same thing.
So you'll start off with these guys with shields, and like when you've got your little pea shooter pistol, like it does nothing. It'll shoot the shield in it, and you have to wait for him to shoot at you, and he'll move his shield away, and you've got like a literally split second to like rain bullets at him to take a few life off him.
Oh man!
And he'll hide his shield again. So basically, you have to do this like two or three times before he dies. Just like one little enemy, it's like, you know, complete pain in the ass. Caustic bullets. One bullet melts his shield. The next bullet melts his face. He's dead.
Oh,
so it's like boom, boom, dead. You know. So even though you know you're not like leveling up like Cyrus says, but like you know your bullets are better, so it gets easier. So like once you get over that initial hump and you upgrade your stuff, then it's like, okay, now I get it. Now that's why they have like swarms of enemies, or they have this enemy here and this enemy here, and they expect you to do this. Because if you upgrade your weapon, all of this is really easy. But you know, you don't start off with that, you know. And another thing, I said at the start, you know, it's got 4-player co-op. So another thing is like, okay, you've got an enemy up here and an enemy down here, and somebody's coming from behind you. If you've got 4 people, it's piss easy. That guy takes up that guy, and you know, that guy covers you from behind, and you kill the other guy. It's like boom, 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 dead. You know, it's super easy with, you know, 4 people. But by yourself, you know, the difficulty is like, you know, 4 times harder, right? But you can actually go online with randoms. You just it's like I kind of like, it's not a menu based game. It's all like based around this camp. You're like walking around a camp, and you like, you know, talk to various people to like upgrade your stuff, and you talk to this robot, and it'll kind of like, you can switch it to like online mode, and like you can do like split screen as well on the same console.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So you can have like 4 players, and yeah, it's all works at the same time. It's kind of amazing, actually. So if you switch it to online, like you wait a few seconds, and then just like a little dude will just appear in your camp, and it'll be like, you know, another human controlled player. And then you select a mission, and then off you go. Jump on the helicopter, and you take on the mission together. But I think it's the guy who's higher rank who gets to choose the missions, because I never got to choose the mission. Because it's like, I got this like higher rank guy who's like a major or something like that, you know. And he's like, oh yeah, let's go and do this mission. And it's like in this stage I've never seen before, fighting these like robot enemies in a science lab. And I'm like, oh, I've never seen any of this before. And nothing is dying with my bullets, because, you know, everything's like, you know, 10 levels higher than what I am. But yeah, and you can only communicate via like preset kind of messages and stuff. You can't, there's no voice chat or anything like that, or free text chat. It's just AKA like
the Nintendo way.
There you go. Fits perfectly with Nintendo. So yeah, it's got 4-player co-op, but you know, that's where it ends, you know.
Yeah.
We're still yet to have a 4-player co-op campaign with voice chat. That's still something that doesn't exist on Nintendo systems in the year of our Lord, 2018.
Did you get to any of the boss battles in that game yet?
Yeah, I'm on the second boss, but it's weird. The bosses are weird. So like the boss stage was like the final mission of the first rank. And it's like this guy called the Steel Soldier. It's like this big mech guy. And it's most of the missions are like, you know, destroy this person or capture or rescue this person. But this one was like capture the Steel Soldier. I was like, what? Capture, like, why am I not killing this dude anyway? So I was like, I just kind of ignored that and then just like destroyed him, which was quite hard to do with my shitty weapons. And then it was like mission failed. I was like, what? I was like, I beat the boss, I killed the boss, why is it mission failed? And it's like, and then I kind of reread the mission objective, and it was like, okay, capture. I was like, okay, so they gave me these shock grenades. I was like, okay, I kind of put two together. I was like, maybe I'm supposed to shock him to death. So then it was like, you know, that didn't work. But like, what you have to do is you have to whittle it down his energy until he flashes red. It's almost like catching a freaking Pokemon. You get his health down low, and then you throw the shock bomb, and you can capture him. It's like, that's this the weirdest boss like level ever. It's like, that's the first boss. It's like, can't I just shoot him in the face, you know? Like you would expect in a shooter like this. So yeah, there's weird things like that, and like if you die on the boss, you like you get three lives, right? If you die on the boss, he'll respawn in a totally different part of the map, and you have to like go scouring these fucking huge maps. These maps are huge, by the way, and they go like up. They're vertical as well as like horizontal.
Yeah, it like spawns mission objectives around the maps, so you're supposed to like reuse the same maps again and
Yeah,
again.
it reuses the same maps and again and again. And I guess this is the Reloaded edition on Switch. I guess the version that Cyrus played and the version I'm playing is quite different. Like they've added a few, like obviously they added the DLC. They've added a few, they've ironed out a few like bugs and stuff like that. And apparently, like some of the missions that were like timed are like no longer timed and stuff like that. You know, things that people like hated about the original one, they've kind of improved with this Reloaded edition. But like I said, even this Reloaded edition is fucking hard and quite frustrating. So it's like, yeah, the no wonder Cyrus kind of gave up on it quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, I really wanted to like that game, but it just wasn't for me.
Was it like just being hit with that wall of like, you know, having shitty everything at the start and everything being unfair at you right from the beginning?
No, it just I think you even mentioned this in your review that it gets a bit grindy. Like it just like
Right.
when you're harvesting materials to upgrade your guns and things, I
Yeah.
just that loop was not fun. That loop of like going to places to get materials, to get better guns, to go to a better place to get better materials. And I just kind of
Yeah.
like, I've been to this zone like six times already.
Right.
I'm
You're
just
looking
like,
for
I
like
just
a
kind of.
specific like bit of material, and it's just randomly generated, you know. Also the fact they have to crouch to pick it up kind of annoys me. You can't just like walk over it to collect it. So you're like, and it's really like finicky about like exactly, you have to stand exactly over it to pick it up, you know. So yeah, there are some like niggles like that. But I would say if you're like a super fan of Metal Slug, and you know those games are like, you know, no challenge whatsoever for you, I think you would be fine with this and you would probably enjoy it. And the four player co-op is like, yeah, that's really, really cool. And you can play on the same system and everything like that. So if you got a friend who's also into it, you know, you don't even have to, you know, live with the person, you know. Good times. And yeah, that's it from me. So yeah, look out for the review. Well, the review is on the website already. So check it out.
Alrighty, well, that's going to do it for new business. So we're going to go ahead and move on to now playing at thefamicast.com. Now playing at thefamicast.com. Well, we have a lot of things going on, and Cyrus, would you mind kicking things off?
Absolutely. So, like we mentioned in New Business, we've been kind of churning out video reviews, going back to our old reviews, making video reviews of them. So Ty's been talking about Mantis Burn Racing. We had Mercenary Kings from James. So Yono and the Celestial Elephants, Troll and I. There's kind of video reviews popping up like daily on the website at this point. So if you prefer your media consumed visually and audioly, that's how you do it. And the other thing is, me and James, we just wrapped up one of our Patreon exclusive shows where we did a Super Splat Hour. And this was a special gameplay edition where we were playing online during one of the Splatfests, Gherk ins, Gherk outs. And it was interesting trying to find games.
So what with that, wasn't it just like everybody didn't want the damn pickles or something?
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone went with, yeah, we didn't want gherkins, we didn't want pickles in our burgers. So
Yes.
we actually got only four player games, but we came close sometimes.
Cool.
So we recorded it. It's in editing. I'm editing it with on my other computer with my toes right now.
Amazing.
We talked about F-Zero, and we build our own fantasy F-Zero game out of various design concepts. and it's great.
Yes, it is.
It's super great. Yeah, listen to our tedious dissection of all the gameplay mechanics of the F-Zero series.
That's right. In case you don't know how AC/DC works, we basically cut up all the parts of the best parts of all the F-Zero games, and then we put them in a blender and we add our own ideas and we make the greatest F-Zero game ever made.
Right.
We've already done it for Mario Kart and Star Fox. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So yeah. Coming soon.
They're great podcasts. Give us $3.
That's right. Cyrus, Ty, you didn't eat last month, so let's make sure you do this month.
Yeah.
Please.
All right, I need food for dinner.
There you go.
Yes.
And we already talked about Mantis Bun Racing by Ty.
Yeah, I did a great job.
You did a great job.
Probably one of our funniest video reviews.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. No doubt.
Please enjoy. So, Danny, are we? Have you talked about stuff?
Yes.
All right, then. So I'll finish up the now playing with an important announcement about our Patreon stuff. So we're like a couple of months away from our like 1 year of doing the Patreon. So when the 1 year comes up, we're actually going to think about our, what do you call them, Patreon tiers and our Patreon goals. And, you know, things are going to change. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. We've got lots of new ideas. But for in the meantime, our goal is for, well, me and Danny, basically. We want to go to Bit Summit. Bit Summit is a cool event in Kyoto, which has, like lots of indie games, basically, set up by James Milkey. Who's let's call him friend of the show. I met him at Tokyo Game Show with Dylan Cuthbert, great guy. And basically me and Danny want to go there and make awesome videos and do awesome cool stuff there. And we are asking you, well, of course our patrons are already awesome and helping us, but if you're not a patron, consider helping us. We're calling it the Road to Bit Summit. So we've got like, I don't know, when is it? Is it in May?
May.
It's in May. So we've got till May to save up enough money to send me and Danny to Bit Summit. And we would appreciate any help to do that. It's going to be awesome if we get to go.
Yeah. I mean, geez, if you remember last year, I think it was episode 102 or 103 when we had Liam. God, which Liam was it? The one that's in Japan. Not Robertson. Yes.
Liam, not Robinson.
Liam, not Robertson. Anyways, he was telling us all about Bit Summit and like the experience he had there. It just sounded amazing. And as much as I love TGS, like Bit Summit seems like it's the place to go just for like access to like cool new games and then just the ability to actually play them because there's not like literally 100,000 people there. So
that's right. And yeah, we need your help because like none of us live in Kyoto and it's quite far and you know, it would be a lot of help for us, you know, financially to get us to Bit Summit if we had some help from you guys listening. And we would pay you back by making awesome content from Bit Summit. And I don't think any like Western like outlets actually go to Bit Summit. You know, there are a few people who go, but, you know, no one actually covers it like a proper event like we do, like we did with Evo and TGS and everything. So, yeah. Pleased to be helping us, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're not going to stop asking until the event comes around. So, might as well chip in now. Mm-hmm. Love you forever.
Yes,
you get a mention, and you get awesome podcasts. So, it's win-win for everyone.
And maybe cool stuff like pixel art if you go high enough.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah.
Have we still got one of those left?
There's still one slot open. Go before the end of the year, yo.
There you go. Did we say hello to our new patron?
No, we did not.
Okay, then. Oh, should we?
Yeah. We probably should. I thought I'd put that... Oh, God, it's right there.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, we want to welcome our good buddy, new patron, Russ Greeno, who has had several mentions on the show over the past couple of years. This is all around good guy, question mark. I hope so. No, welcome aboard. And, you know, thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it took you time.
Yeah, download the backlog of all the Patreon shows we did. Load them up. Get listening. It'll take forever.
There you go.
Cool.
All of this and more at the Famicast Deck-In.
Deck-In.
All right, James. Well, I think you know what time it is.
Jabba News!
Gosh.
Yeah, I remember when I was editing the last episode, you had me. You're like, what are you talking about? Jabba News! Just really went for it. It was incredible. I loved it.
In your face.
But,
slash ears.
Yes. So we have a little bit of news here to talk about. The first little bit here. This is something that, as of right now, doesn't affect Japan, but I think this is interest to a lot of us. And okay. Let me rephrase that.
Maybe people listening. I don't know. Not me. My 3DS is already in the trash.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game that people are interested in because it's a good game, allegedly. As you could maybe say a couple things towards James, but
SteamWorld Dig 2 is coming to the 3DS. In 3D, 60 frames per second. Yeah. And it's going to be the same price as the Switch version, $19.99.
Hey, if you're into 3D, stereoscopic 3D gaming, I don't see a problem with that.
I was going to say, it's not on the Japanese eShop, but you can just download it because it's region free. Then I remembered, that's the Switch. That's not the 3DS. 3DS is not region free, so rest in peace.
Yeah, so maybe in 3 months it'll be available in Japan.
This is more like just a reminder of how annoying everything was before the Switch, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Next.
Yes.
Oh, this is more up my alley. Next one.
This is something that I guess it came out around the same time as our last podcast, but for whatever reason we missed it, or we were just on the cusp of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with just on the cusp. That's our MO.
Let's just say that. So we caused this to happen. It's the Famicast blessing. You're welcome.
Yep.
So what is it, James? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. So My Nintendo, the coming soon grayed out My Nintendo symbol for Switch rewards will finally be ungrayed out.
Oh, wow.
We don't know the exact date. We're just saying March.
Yeah, they didn't say they didn't say anything specific. They just said March.
Yeah. So because of this, I've actually put a hold on all downloads because they're actually going to bring back what it used to be called, the Digital Rewards Program on the Wii U, which was awesome. And it weirdly was like only if you got, was it like if you bought a Wii U in the first year or something like that? I can't remember. Yeah, but like there was some weird like kind of statute of limitations that they put on it. So it's like, how it worked on the Wii U is like, I think it was like 10% of like what you bought, you kind of got back. And then when it built up to like $5, they gave you like a $5 or whatever, £5 coupon, which was amazing. You can spend it on whatever you wanted, you know. And then that digital rewards program ended. Oh, I remember now. It was like a year or something like that.
Two years.
2 years. And when that 2 years ran out, didn't work anymore. That's it. The whole program just disappeared. And people were like, what? This program was awesome and made sense and made me want to buy more games. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that anymore. for whatever reason.
That was so stupid.
And then here we are, whatever it is, three years later, and they've brought it back on the Switch. So basically you earn 1% on physical games, 5% on downloads. And I'm going full download on Switch, so this is going to be awesome. So if you buy a 5,000 yen game, you're going to get about 250 yen back, which is awesome. So yeah, you buy like everything digital, you know, that's going to add up, and you can spend it on whatever you want. So yeah, those gold coins are going to actually be worth something. And the weird thing is, like, the old system, like the amount of gold coins you got when you registered games in the old system are like way lower than what they will be starting in March. So it really, you really should just hold off. If you're going to buy, like, for example, a big retail game, seriously, just wait like a couple of weeks and download it, and you're going to get way more coins.
I'm really happy I never redeemed any of the points on like Sonic, Doom, Zelda, all the games I got for Christmas.
Physical. Yeah.
Oh, because that one you have to actually go to the menu and press the button. Don't
you? Redeem coins.
Redeem coins, right. Digital ones, it happens without you asking you. Just happens as you download it. Yeah. So yeah, this is good news. We're actually going to get money for buying games, which is what they promised years ago. Years ago. Like when my Nintendo, even before my Nintendo started, this is like, this is what it's going to be like, you know. You're going to buy games and you're going to get coupons for buying stuff, and then you can spend it on stuff that you want. And here we are.
Yeah.
March 2018 finally comes true.
Fucking took them long enough, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this next thing, actually, James, you brought it up on Twitter, and I'd seen this myself, and I thought this was kind of neat.
Yeah, so there's some download cards. Well, yeah, they're just download cards. They've always existed, these download cards. You know, your 5,000 yen download cards. But the picture that I took is of a poster, which is near the download cards, the prepaid download cards, Danny. And they recommended that you should buy these three games. And I thought it was kind of interesting because the three games that they recommended were Stardew Valley, which Danny bought, Overcooked, which I bought, and Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is one of Ty's favorite games.
Hell yeah.
So I thought it was kind of interesting that the three games that they highlighted on the poster were, you know, three games that we've talked about a lot on the Famicast. It's like complete coincidence. So,
why didn't they recommend Ironcast?
Well, it might not have even got a Japanese release, did it? Did it?
It should. Yeah. So good, yo. Go buy that game.
I mean, this happens a lot in Japan, like over explaining stuff to Japanese people. It's like, you can buy prepaid cards and then download things over the internet.
Yeah.
Like this game and this game. And it's like, oh, naruhodo ne. You know. That's basically Japan, isn't it? Like, or like that Shenmue DVD CD, Danny.
Yeah.
What is Shenmue?
Yeah. What is Shenmue? Right.
Next month, you're going to see lots of posters saying, "What is Easter?"
Can't wait.
And then there'll be some, like, you know, paragraph explaining something nothing to do with Easter, but, you know, involves chocolate. So who cares? But I thought that was pretty cool that, you know, NCL, Nintendo of Japan, were recommending you buy those games. Good times. Yeah. Danny, you haven't talked about Stardew Valley in months. I'm assuming you just dropped it like a rock.
I played for 5 hours, and then I think I had to review something, and then I just haven't got back to it. It's cool. I mean, I like it. Now it's just, the further away I get, I'm trying to even remember what the hell I was doing, you know? Because, like, with
farming.
Well, that's what it was. No, I mean, like, with a game like that, you're starting to lay out stuff in your farm, and you're like, I got to do this and this. I just put, you know, these plants. Blah, blah. Okay, whatever.
It's a good story.
Yeah, got plenty more.
Rich, you've been quiet for a while. Of those three games, which one have you bought / would you buy?
So
Stardew Valley, Overcooked
has been telling me to get Overcooked, so I'd probably get that.
Yay, I win. You two lose.
Boo.
But another coworker of mine has been telling me to get Stardew Valley.
Hey,
so I don't know.
Ties inside place.
I'm telling you. That should be all you need.
No, actually, yeah, I don't know much about Crypt of the Necrodancer at all. But
I think actually, Danny, of all the people on the family crew, you're probably the most likely to like it because you like music rhythm games, right?
I do. Yeah. It looks cool.
It was like Famicast, whatever it was, episodes 10 to 60 was pretty much all music rhythm games. It's like you and Don Koopman talking about music rhythm games pretty much every episode. And I'm like, boring.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, theater rhythm, as it's called in the West. You know, Hatsune Miku games, then like other weird things like Jam with the Band, the 3DS version that never is ever leaving.
Rest in peace.
Lots of cool stuff, man.
Well, next time I invite myself over to your place, Danny, I'll bring along Necrodancer.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or maybe I'll just buy it. I don't know.
Yeah,
just bring one of those prepaid cards to Danny's house, and you'll download. Hey. Make him download it.
Yeah, bring the cash, homie.
Yeah, I kind of want to play the Switch exclusive character on that, because that's a thing, right?
Who is the
exclusive? Looks like Death or something, Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say Mario or something.
Yeah, I think we made a joke about that before. Somebody did. I'm like, Mario? What, really? And I went and looked, and it was not Mario.
Yeah, I think we would have.
Death.
Yeah, we would have known. This Death, he sucks.
It's Marlo.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, well, there's a couple other little bits of news from our good pals over, good pal, singular, over at JapaneseNintendo.com. If you want to check out any Japanese-related Nintendo news, that's a really good place to do that.
What about Osiris? You like Mega Man?
I do. Mega Man's one of those weird games that I love Mega Man. I play a lot of Mega Mans. I never finish any Mega Mans.
Mm.
But, yeah, they just announced that Legacy Collection 1 and 2 are coming to Switch. And
which games are they? Are they just the NES ones?
It's NES and... I can't remember what is on these things. It's Super Nintendo? I think it is just Mega Man 1 to 10. So,
to 10. So a little bit of NES, a little bit of Super NES.
Yeah, and the like the modern, was it 10? Was 10 was the modern one? Or 10 was
and,
it
9 and 10?
Yeah, 9 and 10 were the modern ones. So yeah, so
right.
A bit of those.
And then 11 is the new kind of one that looks like the more 3D looking one.
Yeah. What really annoys me about this though is that like Legacy Collection 1 and 2 came out long ago on various consoles, but they're still packaging them as separate games on the Switch. Like, why didn't they combine them into a single game?
They did.
Why are they selling me two games when I should be buying one?
I thought that's the whole point of this story, is that they are. But they're two downloads. You mean they're two separate kind of games?
Yeah, like Legacy Collection 1 is $14.99 by itself, and then Legacy Collection 2 is $20 by itself.
Oh, okay. So it's together, it's the...
Of both of them, but you get a physical copy of Legacy Collection 1 and then a download code for Collection 2.
Yes. And the Japanese title is Rockman Classics Collection.
It's just... Like, I would probably have bought this if they were all, like, one set of games. I don't like the idea of buying two different sets.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid. But
it's kind of nitpicky, but it annoys me.
Yeah. Well, moving on, this is kind of weird, but this is the type of stuff that when I see, I get, I wouldn't say excited, but I'm just like, okay, this seems kind of interesting. So... There's a new game coming up for Switch called Kyogeki Quartet Fighters. It's
for what? For 3DS?
For the Switch. Did I say 3DS?
Yes.
Oh god, I meant Switch. Just looking at like the screenshot of this, it reminds me of a lot of like 3D classics like Xevious or something. I mean, it basically looks just like that. It's supposed to be releasing on February 22nd. It's about like 1400 yen, probably about $15. And it's, I guess the developer is called Happy Meal.
which is not what it's called in Japan.
Yes.
It's called Happy Set.
Exactly. And I guess the background music for this game, this is basically, you know, like a space type of a shooter, kind of like, you know, like that type of a thing. And the Star Soldier composer, Takeaki Kunimoto, like doing something like with the theme and stuff like that here.
Good friend of mine.
Yes. A couple of things like that. I don't know, it looks cool. That's pretty reasonably priced. Maybe I'll just like dip in on that just to see what it's all about. I miss, you know, it just seems like, you know, with the Switch, it's great that it's like region free, but most of the stuff that is like Japan only, it's just, I don't know, something that doesn't look very interesting to me most of the time.
Garbage.
Yeah, basically. that's another way to put it. Yeah, hell yeah. So,
I totally missed this, Cyrus. I don't know if you saw this, but the American Splatfest happened. The Love versus Money. Did you know that? Yeah. Team Love won.
Wasn't that a Splatfest before anyway? Somewhere?
It was. It's a repeated one. It's been on Splatoon 1.
Okay. Just making sure I wasn't going
crazy. I know he's muted.
A lot of them, I mean, if you go on... Oh, sorry, Rich, what did you say?
Just, I know he's muted. I think he was trying to talk.
Yeah, he raised a good point there about me being muted.
If you go back and listen to Super Splat Hour Episode 1, we did a history of Splatfest, and we noticed that a lot of them were repeated. And, you know, now that we're going into more deep into Splatoon 2, even more being repeated. But the Gherkin one was totally new. That was like, yeah, that was weird. So, yeah, congratulations to Team Love. I'm happy to see Team Love beat Team Money. In today's dark times, that feels like a good result, I think.
Yeah, that's actually a question like I ask in my students in like high school. It's like a good debate question. Like, which do you think is more important, love or money? And I have this one super depressing teacher who's like totally confused when anyone picks love. Like, can't understand it.
I was going to say, in Japan, it's like, would you rather have A, money, or B, and everyone just goes, A...
Yeah, yeah. That is a pretty common answer. Hey, whatever. Good luck to him.
Right then. Okay, is that about wraps it up for news? Doesn't it? Yeah, well, I obviously Ty is already bored of hearing about version 1.2.1 coming to Pocket Camp.
Yeah, please no.
SD Gundam G Generations Genesis. Anyone? Nintendo Switch.
Should we move on to feedback?
Please.
Good call. Let's do it. All right, if you want your comments, question, complaint, bitch, whatever, read out on the air, you can email us at thefamicast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, also at thefamicast, Facebook at thefamicast. Leave a comment here on YouTube, and you can have your email or whatever read out on the show, just like these guys. So, James, what are we doing, man?
We're going straight in. We're begging for iTunes reviews or Google Play reviews last episode, and our new patron Rust Greeno heard the call and gave us one. I think it's on the Play Store. I think it is.
Okay.
He says, this has got to be my favorite Nintendo theme podcast. Beware if you don't like a sardonic sense of humor. These boys are full of it.
What?
It's funny because, like, on the Twitter picture that he captured, it said, if you don't like sard, and it ended there. So I thought it said sardines at first. And I was a bit confused, like...
Yeah, check out my sardine sense of humor.
But yeah, we also all hate sardines. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's one of those guys in Splatoon 2.
I was going to say, yeah. Sardines, yeah. Delicious or disgusting. So next one, a couple of comments. Last episode, I said, please, if there are anyone who's not white and not male, please write in and tell us that. And two people wrote in. So we have at least two non-white, non-male listeners.
Diversity.
There you go. The first non-male listener is Anna Claire. She says, she kind of like says... yeah, there are women listening. It's me.
It's like a coughing sound.
And the next one is from Mini Drives, which Rennie's been mentioned before. And Mini says he's Guatemalan and Puerto Rican by descent, but he was born in the US and raised were all in his first 2 years on the mainland in the Midwest. Hmm. So yeah,
wow,
West
represents baby.
In Danny's neighborhood.
There it is. Come on down. I'm not there anymore.
But if you're staying in Japan, by all means, come and stay at Danny's house free of charge.
Come down, got a free bathtub.
Rich, when are you coming over to Danny's house?
How's Saturday?
Okay, well,
it's fine. That's... absolutely fine.
Yeah, good. Come on in. I'll leave the key in the mailbox.
Next, on to YouTube comments. Oh, it sounds ominous when you say that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next, I'm going to read some YouTube comments. It's like, Jesus Christ. You guys fucking suck. You're not even Japanese. God. No, nothing like that. The first one is from Jen. How do you say NY?
Jenny. I think it's Jenny.
Jenny. Okay, there you go. Just capitalized weirdly. Yeah. This is from the Gal Metal Tak Fuji interview, friend of the show. She says, English version, please. This game is out in Japan now, by the way.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, I saw it on the store. I was like, oh, cool. I might buy that.
No, he retweeted something. He said, first English review or something. And then he linked up. Somebody made like a walkthrough how to play. I don't know.
Okay. I got a bit confused by the word review there.
Yeah, he said that. But...
There was a kind of sad moment. I was in the big Yodobashi camera in Akihabara, and there was a display for Dragon Quest Builders. And then, but it was kind of like leaning forward a bit, and I kind of looked behind it, and there was the Gal Metal display behind it. So it had already been like covered up by another game. It was like a bit sad, you know. They put those like kind of fake cases, you know, and they're all hidden behind the Dragon Quest Builders sign. So rip in peace.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looks interesting. It says, man, it's an awful high asking price.
Yeah, that's a game we should review on the Famicast. It's a Japanese Nintendo release. I'll get Tak on the phone, see what he says.
Yeah.
But he's trying to get as many sales as he can. He says, like, you know, every sale is like another year in the industry or something like that.
What? Did he really?
Another 5 minutes.
There you go, another 5 minutes in the industry.
Yeah, if it was another year in the industry, I'd fucking set up my own company right now.
Next comment is from Shin Baxter. This nice. Is from the Evo, the Rama half hard battle stream that we've got on our channel. Like
a fighting guy, nickname Shin Baxter.
He says, "Never thought I'd see a Rama half hard battle tournament at Evo. Takes me back. I would have loved to play these guys." Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Oh yeah,
Ty's rival makes his appearance.
Yeah, that reminds me of what maybe my favorite moment from Evo is. A little before the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just watching Ranma, just the casual play, and somebody walks by. One of the Cannon brothers. They're twins. So there's Tom Cannon. There's Tony Cannon. They're like one of the five people who have run Evo since the beginning.
Are they talking about Nick Cannon, like the rapper guy used to be Nickelodeon? Okay.
No, I don't know if it was Tom or Tony because they kind of look alike. But like he looked at it and he had like this look of shock and joy, like, Ranma, what the? Oh my god! And you know, I wish I had a girl that looked at me the way he looked at Ranma. At right, it was kind of a magical moment.
They actually mentioned Ranma on A4 Play recently. One of the guys who's into fighting games, I think it's Howard, he plays fighting games on A4, and he talked about it. So yeah,
right.
Maybe next year you can play against him, Ty. We'll have an A4 Play versus Famicast final tournament of Ranma. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
That's right. I'm issuing a challenge. Come see me in Ranma.
There you go. We're throwing it down.
Throwing it down.
I'm coming for you, Ty. I'm going to take the crown.
I hope people watch Ty's road to the championship Ranma video on the YouTube channel. There's some cool outtakes of me challenging, one of the tournament players there. and kicking his ass.
Yeah, you beat the shit out of that guy.
Yep.
It wasn't actually on.
Yeah. That bit wasn't actually on the video, but yeah. Okay, so there we go. That's the end.
On this video, we actually had, there was another comment. It was from a Japanese person. I think they were talking like the names of the fighting moves, and then they were talking about like some of the characters.
So, yeah, I didn't understand the comment.
Even if it was like written in English, I probably still wouldn't even have understood it, because it was like saying the names of like the moves and the names of the characters. Like,
show me your moves.
Yeah, there's some voice lines in the game, and they made no fucking sense when I was like 13 years old.
And oh, that wasn't localized.
Yeah, it was kind of a bare minimum localization job. It was just the in-game text.
Right.
And like the character names. But like voices are still Japanese. The signboards that the panda swings, they're still in Japanese.
You know when Chun-Li wins in Street Fighter 2, does she say Yatta?
Yes.
Yep.
Which is Japanese, not Chinese.
Right.
Yep.
Brilliant.
She also in three, she's like, Gomenne. So.
Yep.
So well, even Japanese people can't tell the difference between Chinese and Japanese people.
Now you've done it.
Unbelievable.
Please.
I didn't make Street Fighter. Jesus.
Yo, I'm the Russian guy named Vodka Gorbalski.
Don't you mean Soda Popinski?
No, check out like I guess there's a Street Fighter collector's book, mm-hmm. or you may know Best Friends Play. They did a great fighting game series on YouTube where they look through the book, and like Zangief's name before they settled on Zangief was Vodka Gorbalski.
I would have preferred that.
Yo, right?
I think the entire world would have.
All right.
Holy cool. Shit. So there's Danny, some gnarly stuff in that book.
Before we get into more trouble, let's wrap it up.
Yes.
Please.
I got two more things.
Yeah.
I got time.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay.
Rich's special segment is coming.
Yeah. So one, I don't actually like Hello Kitty. That was a joke. and then two, yeah, sorry. So James, you mentioned Yodobashi Camera a minute ago, yes. And that reminded me. So you know, when you go in there, they play that song on loop while you're walking around. I guess this is a question for. The non-Americans. I'm wondering if you guys know what that song is.
It doesn't come to mind. What, can you hum it?
Oh no.
does it go?
No, that's not it. Anyways, no, it's the. Do you guys know Ty or Danny?
I don't know. I'm listening to it on YouTube right now.
Okay, please, you don't recognize it.
Yodobashi, huh?
Yodobashi theme song?
Yeah.
You'll have to play it in the background in the audio version.
Yeah, everyone's listening to it right now in the audio version of the show.
That's good.
Oh! This song.
Yeah, I know the song.
I do know this song.
It's like a MIDI version of...
Oh, right. That's like, it's like an old American...
Yeah.
Kind of song. What?
Yeah, it's the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah, that's right.
The U.S. Civil War.
Yes.
And I am just, I've always been perplexed why they play that song in a Japanese electronics store. Never heard a good answer, but.
Probably think it's kawaii or something.
Oh,
yeah, it's catchy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of the times, Japanese companies just adopt these things, and it's like, hey, let's just put our own words here. Who cares what it's originally used for?
Isn't it like glory, 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 hallelujah? Isn't it that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like the entire of Japan, whenever a store closes, plays "Ao Lang Syne." So it's like,
get out.
This just happens in Japan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you've traveled around Japan a lot, you know, different train stations have different little themes.
Hmm.
And you might run into some, like, really oddball ones. like you know what I mean? There'll be yeah. like just like a little chime sound or something for each station.
Yeah. I know there's like some of them have like Totoro themes or Doraemon around Tokyo that have adopted characters.
Well, yeah. the My Hammer one, the one that stops at Disneyland, is, you know, the Mickey Mouse theme song, obviously.
Right.
You can actually buy full, like, 4 CD soundtracks of every single JR station music on one compilation.
Jeez.
Yeah. Good luck to them. People yeah. who buy those CDs.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was all.
That's really that's interesting. Good. You know, now that you mentioned it, I don't think I've ever actually heard that song in a Yodobashi camera.
Like, now that I've heard it, I'm aware that I have heard it recently.
So they always play at the end. Yeah, the end of their commercials, they... Yes.
Exactly, because, yeah, there's no Yodobashi, like, out here in Saitama. Well, at least where I'm at in Saitama.
No, in the whole prefecture.
The whole prefecture. No, but, like, yeah, I remember this specifically the commercials. Now I'm like, yes, that's it. Yeah.
Awesome.
There's some pretty good YouTube compilations of their commercials through the years.
Yeah.
I've done some deep dives on this.
This is my deep Yodobashi camera through the ages.
Yeah.
Not the store, just their advertisements.
I'd love to see Rich's YouTube history. It's probably mental.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. After the first time I went to Japan for a long time, and then I came back to the States, and I was getting kind of reverse homesick, like I want to go back to Japan. I would get on YouTube and like listen to like the train station sounds.
Oh.
And be like, oh yeah, I know that place.
So
you're not talking about
like just the train station music they have at each station.
Oh, you're not just like listening to the soothing sounds of trains passing by and like
10 hours.
Yeah.
So
on no, I note... listen to soothing Quake 3 sounds to sleep, as yeah. per my recent tweet.
So it actually gets even weirder because people have posted videos of like these Vocaloid voices singing the names of every like station on the Yamanote line or things like that, set to that same song. So there's this weird fascination with it somewhere. And you can see it on YouTube.
It is.
I love the Civil War.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. Terrible music and Japan. It goes hand in hand. Believe me.
Oh, boy.
Watch the trailer for the new Full Metal Alchemist. You'll see what I mean.
Yeah. So, time out, though. They're saying that's new. That came out in theaters here, like, in December.
Oh, the Netflix thing?
Yeah, it's... Anyway, I just saw that like on IGN. I was like, what the fuck? That's not new. Okay, it is for everybody else outside of Japan.
I'm sorry. You must have confused me with someone who gives a shit.
On that note, let's go ahead and close out the show. fucking harsh, man. Jesus.
I'm sorry. I'm still angry after watching that trailer when the J-pop kicked in.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much par for the course, though, isn't it? Anyways, we're going to go ahead and give out our Twitter handles. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can. It's at DannyBiv, DannyBiv. James, where can we find you?
At Family Complicated. For all your video game needs.
Yes. And Ty.
Super Cat Drugs. One word. Check out my funny tweets about Quake 3 soothing hit sounds.
Look forward to it. And Cyrus.
You can find me at Celsi, where I don't know what I talk about at this point. Cool stuff. It's all cool.
Oh, all I'm in. Sick.
Yeah.
My Twitter is so cool and good.
Yes.
Please click.
Yeah. I've got exactly 999 tweets. If you're cool, you could be the one I reply to as the 1,000th tweet.
Wow. Can't wait.
Dear Cyrus, who will be your 1,000th tweet? There you go.
Yeah.
See if you can resist replying to that.
Yeah. Find out next Rich... time.
I thought he had you blocked.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Do you have anything to plug or anything like that, man? Or do you just like to keep off the grid?
Yeah, I'm off the grid.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But Rich,
so if you want to reach Rich, his address is
yeah. Credit card number, social security number,
mm-hmm.
passport number.
Hey, have you noticed that 8Fold Play have started doing listener questions? They got a lot of questions. Maybe we should steal some of their questions, the ones that they don't answer.
Yes.
Yeah, send us your questions. If 8Fold Play don't answer your questions, we'll answer the ones that they don't answer. So yeah, send them to us again. Just like copy paste it and then give it a shot to us. We'll get their leftovers.
And if you still want Famicast chocolates, hey, I've been looking into it. I'm serious. I was talking about it on the last episode. Yeah, it's relatively affordable. This could happen. If you're very interested, if you're even remotely interested, let us know.
All right.
Not really, but I seriously did look into it. And
such a weird end to this podcast.
And we're done. Thank you for listening. And Rich, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for your support. Yeah, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for letting me ruin your podcast.
It was already ruined.
Yeah.
No worries. You're welcome. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we will catch you next time. Peace.
Peace out.
Peace.